Welcome to Spanish Janice. I'm Janice Burt, and today we're diving into conversations that inspire growth, connection, and confidence. You're watching Now Media Television.
Welcome to Spanish Janice, everybody. I am so happy to be here. In this show, we are going to dive into the stories, the struggles, the strengths that shape who we are. I'm your host, Janice Burt, and today we are stepping into our voice, that whole concept of visibility. And our guest today, he understands this from the inside out. Jess has been a TV reporter, behind the scenes media experience. He is the founder of Media Ambassadors. They help leaders to navigate this media changing world. And one cool thing about Jess is he holds a Guinness Book of World Records, everybody. We are going to talk about that. So we're going to start today with a topic that a lot of us struggle with. It is showing up, being seen, being in the spotlight, even when it feels scary. So Jess, thank you so much for joining me today.
A pleasure. I have so much good stuff to share as we're in this ever-changing world where we have to be out in front of people, either on camera like we are right now, or in a bigger way, speaking and sharing more.
Absolutely. Let's talk about, first of all, your experience in media. How did that start? How did you feel being in the spotlight when you very first began your career?
Well, my original start in this field was I was a TV producer. I was a producer for 13 years on national level, ABC, NBC, Fox, a lot of different places. But during that time, even though I was a producer, they would put me on as a reporter. And at a certain point, I started doing some hosting as well. And I was kind of tinkering with that. But when I officially left in 2007 to start a communication training business, I realized I need to be a guest just like I am right now. And I went and did interviews. So if you're thinking about that time where I really had to put myself out there and felt something that I think the audience has felt before, it was I went on a BBC show and I was there via satellite. And I'm sitting in a chair like I am now. And they were saying, I was just thinking it when I was hearing your producer in the background say, 5, 4, 3, 2. And my heart was starting to pound out of my chest. And I was thinking, I worked in television for over a decade. Why would I feel those feelings? And the reason is, it's a normal human stress response that all of us will feel. So I just had to learn how to deal with it. And I took a deep breath and I, you know, they introduced me like you did. And I just said, thanks for having me. And nobody had any idea that inside I was having 1,001 thoughts. So the first lesson for the audience today is, if you look the part, you get credit for it. So if we look calm and comfortable, we can get credit for it. And I'm happy to build on that today.
Love it. So if we look the part, that sounds to me a little bit like the fake it till you make it concept.
I'm glad you brought that up because I hate the topic or the phrase fake it till you make it. And I have a Jess phrase that would be me that I think will serve people better. Would you like to hear it, Janice?
Jess, I would absolutely love to hear it. What
That's
is
cool.
it?
That's called walking the host into something where she said, nah, let's keep going. No, of course, yes, of course you like to hear. Okay, so instead of fake it till you make it, the problem with fake it till you make it is nobody wants to feel like a fake. Because we bring plenty of life experience and business experience or other experiences to the table. Yes, we get in our own head. Oh, I don't have as much experience as that person or this other person. But we bring something to the table on whatever it is that we're working on. So instead of fake it till you make it, here's the Jess version. Act it and become it. If you act the part and you say, well, I could at least do that to start it off. I'm trying to do a thing. All right, let's do this. In a very short amount of time, and let's say even in an interview or speech, and people have had this experience, within about 90 seconds to 2 minutes, people hit a little bit of a rhythm and they start to say, okay, you know what? Maybe I got this, because guess what? We've all spoken in some way in our entire lives and had different uncomfortable situations that we've been in, and we can get there. But the act in becoming is also for other people. And I used to think this a lot on, you know, taking politics out of it, you know, U.S. presidents on their first day in office. I bet when they sit down at that desk, they would have the experience of, I'm the president. Like, everyone's coming in. They want, I can say things that will start wars or end wars, or will, you know, change people's lives. You know, I better act like the president. And I know I've had experiences even starting a new job where on those first days, you don't know everything. And within a short amount of time, you're the person who's saying, oh yeah, that's where the break room is. And that's where this thing is. And over here, you can find it. And all of a sudden, you know everything. So in the beginning, you act the part, and before you know it, you become it.
Jess, I love that. Act it and then become it. You start to embody it, because none of us right out of the gate are going to be like, hey, I got this. I'm not going to make any mistakes. And I find that that holds so many people back, this concept of, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to be seen as I don't have all the answers, or I don't know what I'm talking about. So what would you say to the person who feels that, just really trapped by that concept of perfection? I need to get this straight or right out of the gate, and that I can't make any mistakes at all.
Great question, because perfection is an imperfect goal. None of us are perfect. We're not built to be perfect. We want to be. We want to be as the best that we can be. And sometimes if you come across as too perfect, something seems off or inauthentic. There's never a real person says, well, you know, that goes beyond my expertise, or I don't have the data on this, but from my background, I can tell you this. And I call that the I don't know technique. It's okay to say I don't know, as long as you, or a version of I don't know, as long as you follow it with something you do know. So my feeling on that is, I don't know where that started. I mean, did it start when we were kids? We wanted to be perfect at something. Is just a reframe of realizing that perfect is an imperfect goal. And how do we do the best with the version of us we have right now? And we are going to get better over time. Ideally, we care about the thing that we're doing. If we're talking about something job related or career related, or, you know, just who you are, that you would be reading books or watching podcasts or learning and growing. And that's it. We will get better, but it's where you show up. And I just a quick story, which is, so as a communication consultant, I've been doing this now for 18 years. But when I first started, I left television. There was a first training or two that I had to do. It was just out of the gate. So it's based on my previous experience, but not really as a consultant who can say, oh, I once worked with a company where the CEO did the exact thing you're doing. So don't worry, you're in, you know, this happens to people. I didn't have any of those stories to tell and examples. So I remember it was maybe the second training saying, I once worked with this client. It was only one client that I worked with last week. It was the only client I had ever worked with. There wasn't much to tell. And they were like, oh, thank you. Okay, that was helpful. So you lean on whatever experience, and obviously I had other experience to say as a producer, or, you know, things that had happened prior. But we got to start where we're at.
Absolutely. Starting where you're at. It's funny that you say that, because I think, tell me what you think, but I think when we're kids, really young kids, we do all the things without wanting to be perfect, feeling like we have to be perfect. I mean, think about learning to walk, riding a bike, playing a new sport. You just kind of go out there and you're like, oh, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to do whatever. I'm learning. It's okay to learn. And then as we grow and we hear people snicker or people's judgments or criticisms, I feel like that's when we start shrinking back a little bit, not wanting to mess up, not wanting people to point out our failures. What do you think about that point of view.
Well, that's how we learn as human beings. We have to crawl before we walk, before we run, and we need to be authentic about that and figure out how do I get the messaging around that. I know you're Spanish Janice, and my mother went through a stage later in life where she said, not only do I want to learn Spanish, I want to get really good at it. So if I go in somewhere to a store or somewhere and I think people can speak Spanish, I'm going to tell them to like, hey, I'm learning Spanish. So, you know, bear with me. And she said it in Spanish. And, you know, I may not be perfect. And they said, like, okay. And I remember, and maybe you know where I'm going to go with this. She was ordering eggs, but just kind of said it the wrong way. And they kind of like looked at her. And when she went back to her Spanish teacher, the teacher said, maybe you phrase it this way and it'll definitely sound like you're ordering eggs. But you want to know it was authentic and real. And I think even the people that I talked to, and she said, I'm learning Spanish, but they gave her eggs, but they kind of looked at her like, okay.
Dame unos huevos, amigo.
Exactly. So, and that's part of life. And you want to know what? Sometimes even making mistakes, it shows that we're more human. I know we don't want to in a business setting, but we can show our vulnerabilities. It makes us a complete person. And it's nice to interact with people when you learn other little aspects about them too, and see them as this complete person instead of just one thing.
Absolutely. Now, in our short amount of time before we take a break, just give me a few grounding practices that you have when you are going to present. Is there anything, a go-to grounding exercise?
Yes. Okay. So grounding. So we're going to start here. We're going to build on it when we come back. But if we're talking about how do I get my head screwed on right? Because if we're going to go out in front of people, whether it's giving a wedding toast or we have to talk in front of I'm imagining you're in a boardroom, you know, get up in front of the group, talk to everybody, or hey, introduce somebody at the conference that we're having next month. You know, everyone's now thinking like, oh, that'd be so nerve wracking. So it'd be this practice. Out loud. So these are all the steps here. Practice, but out loud. Record yourself. Good news, we have a TV studio in our pocket. And play it back. You're not going to, guess what? You're not going to love the first draft. It's your first draft. It's not perfect, just like a document. But do it again a couple of times. Build on what you think worked. Do more of that. And if there's something you didn't like, not that you hate it, use it as an opportunity to improve. In the next one, and just doing that, and I have a client who texted me, they were going to a conference, they had to do an introduction, and they said, nailed it. Before they were worried that they were going to be shaking, but just going through those exercises got them some muscle memory. They could just show up and start doing what they needed to do, and it worked out.
Thank you, Jess, and we will be right back after this.
We'll be right back with more insight, inspiration, and real conversations. This is Spanish Janice on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Janice Burt, and you're watching Spanish Janice. Let's keep growing together.
Welcome back to Spanish Janice. Want more of what you are watching? Stay connected to Spanish Janice and every Now Media TV favorite live or on demand anytime you like. Download the Now Media TV on Roku, and you will have non-stop bilingual programming. You can also watch the podcast versions right from our website. This has to do with everything about business and health, well-being. We are so excited that you're here, and I am thrilled that we are back with Jess Todfeld. And Jess, I have to admit something to you. This was you are my first episode, my first segment, my first Spanish Janice. I'm so excited to be here. But I will tell you that last night, I had this thought of, I really need to get a good night's sleep. Almost like that forced, you know, I must, because this is something new. And I think I got maybe 4 hours of sleep last night. laying there with the thoughts and, you know, a little bit of that anxiety. So as I feel like you get me and you've dealt with this and you've dealt with people who have dealt with this, what are your thoughts on how to calm our nervous system before a big gig?
Yes, I'm so glad you brought this up, because it is something that is common and comes up with people all the time, which is the part of the reason is our brain is trying to solve problems during the night. And when we really care about something, we might not sleep. I'm 18 years into this communication training consultancy business, and I still, when I'm working with clients the next day, my brain's thinking during the night. I don't really have that great of a sleep. So one is just to realize, like, okay, it means I care. That's good. That's a good thing that my brain is trying to think about it. And beforehand, we need to practice some sleep hygiene best practices. If we're worried about things, we can write things down so it can be, we could stare at it the next day instead of trying to think of, oh yeah, I should do this in the morning and I should do that, or what, maybe I'll ask that. Wake up, write it down, get it onto that piece of paper. Do your best to not have as many screens. Quiet the lighting as early as you can. And having said that, you probably will have a bumpy night's sleep. And this is something that's helpful that I found over time, which was, and I sometimes travel and help people in other parts of the world, so my schedule is all upside down. And if you lay there calmly, like almost in a meditative state where you're not really asleep, where normally we'd be angry at ourselves, like, oh, I need to get to sleep. This is making me so mad. That's not as helpful. What I read somewhere was, if you're laying there, you're getting a version of rest. You're not getting the best REM sleep you've ever gotten in your life. You may not even be getting REM sleep at that moment, but you're getting a certain level of rest. Your body is, you know, laying calmly. Maybe you can play with your breathing or put on a sound machine app to just kind of have something to focus on. It sounds like a fan. And then when you get up, you will feel better, which there's something I talk a lot about. You know, there's the way we are, and then if we could feel a certain way, which is what we always chase as humans. So I would say that to realize, instead of being mad at yourself, because that's keeping you up more and riling you up and getting adrenaline going, is to focus on, okay, this is a version of rest. I'll take that and to try that out.
I love that. I am going to definitely take that to heart. The other thing is, I just look at it with the silver lining that, you know what, tonight I am going to be sleeping like a freaking baby and it's going to feel great. So we're going with that. Exactly. Switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about the media landscape as it is now and how it's changed. Because I feel like if you've been doing this for 18 years, you have seen some transitions and changes with podcasts, with AI, with social media. Tell us a little bit about not just the changes, but what can we do to plug more in, to use the technology and those advances to our advantage?
Yeah, the media landscape has changed so much since I started in 1994, which is 31 years ago. And unless this comes out after when we're recording it exactly, then do your own math. But what was it like? I mean, I worked in cable television, which was expanding and very exciting at the time. And now cable television is kind of like Circuit City, which I guess went completely out of business. I don't know if you remember, like they just had leftovers on their shelves. They're just putting reruns of who knows what because we want to stream everything. So the world has changed a lot. We were looking at streaming apps. Their social media didn't really, it started going mobile in 2007, I should say, when the iPhone came out. And then even took a few years to get the algorithms to get in. You brought up AI, which is, there are actually two applications or apps that are basically social networks where you can create something with a prompt. So Sora 2, which is from the OpenAI ChatGPT people, and one which is Meta.ai. And you can go in and create a prompt, and I could say, create Janice, and it won't know you because you're not a public figure. So it'll create somebody if I say, you know, she's blonde and she should have whatever color you're wearing and something like that. And have her tap dance while singing, you know, something about in Spanish, talking about communication skills. And it'll do it. It'll create something. And that is just showing you how far things have changed. And of course, and podcasts, I'm very, very excited about. We're doing one right now. I'm on your show. You didn't have to go through a gatekeeper to ask permission to be able to create your show. You just did it. You're like, let's make this happen. Let's put the team together. And you didn't have to, you know, beg. I think about Joan Rivers, who wanted to be first woman in late night television, and was. And it was, you know, such a big, big deal. And we don't really have, we have a fictional person, which was the TV show Hacks, who did it. But we're at a moment where there's this democratization of media. We can do anything big or small. We can own our platform. We could put different voices out there. And then we can try to find an audience. And I think that's terribly exciting. And, you know, it's not for everybody. I think if you have a business, the idea of using a podcast where it creates those shorts, all these social channels are prioritizing the short clips, and maybe people are watching, have the experience, whether you're on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram or you name it, and just those short videos, they keep, you know, sucking you in. You can use the long form to create all these short form clips to promote your business, promote yourself, build community, which at some point could be monetized if you want. So I think it's a very exciting time where before everything was linear and controlled, and now it's nonlinear and completely out of control. I mean, sorry, the control is in our hands. It is a little out of control, I'm sure, but that's okay.
That's okay. We like a little out of control. I have noticed that those clips, the shorts, are very popular. A lot of them go viral. If you were to suggest one thing that somebody that wanted to expand their business, grow their following and visibility, one thing that they should do, what is the thing that you think is most engaging that's going to get people that traction that they're looking for?
I think it is using those shorts or reels, the upright videos that are maybe a minute long. You can go a little bit longer than that. You can go shorter than that. But I think it's enough to intrigue people. And the two most important ingredients, get ready, everybody, is to inspire curiosity and emotion, evoke emotion. And the people who do it best, notice after today, whether you're creating them or not, notice that they do it within the first 6 seconds, because these algorithms know people just kind of say, nope, nope. The second something shows up, they're on of nope, and it's gone. So inspire curiosity, evoke emotion, which, by the way, is something we can do in all of our communications. We're going to open up a speech, we're going to do an interview, to do our best at hitting those so people say, oh, okay, maybe this is something of value.
And it sounds a little bit along the lines of storytelling, a good storyteller. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit more and dive into this art of the story, which sounds like a lot of that. You want to inspire curiosity, evoke emotion, maybe throw in a little lesson in there on the DL, you know what I mean? So yeah. Tell us a little bit about storytelling, why that, first of all, why is storytelling so important, even in business, in whatever it is that we're doing?
They definitely are. Storytelling, stories are the currency of life. It's how we interact with each other. Janice, if you and I went to dinner or lunch and we're just, we're glad we're meeting up, the whole meal would be telling stories. And I'm imagining, you know, we're, you know, friendly and like, so how have you been? Oh, I'm good. You're not going to believe what happened last week. Oh, wow. That's wild. You know, I was just on vacation and let me tell you about this thing. The whole meal is storytelling. So the point is we're built as humans to tell stories. People, cavemen were drawing stories on the walls of the cave. And history before books and media was spoken storytelling. So if that's the case, why is it when people go out and give a speech or a presentation that they do what I, the opposite, which I like to call the data dump? They're just, I'm just going to read facts and stats and data to you, and I'm going to leave out all the stories. For some reason, we think that that's what works, but you're onto it. Stories connect us with people emotionally, and it creates visuals in the mind of the person that you're talking to. And I have some formulas that can help. Should I jump into some of them? Help people?
We are going to jump into that right after this break. So don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back with more insight, inspiration, and real conversations. This is Spanish Janice on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Janice Burt, and you're watching Spanish Janice. Let's keep growing together.
We are back with the incredible, the one and only Jess Todfeld. Jess, you left us on a cliffhanger. So please tell us more about storytelling.
Yes, I said stories are the currency of life. It's built into us. And if we hone this as a skill, we're going to be better business-wise. And I think relationship-wise and as far as connecting with people and making something happen. So what's the framework I was alluding to, which is we, in thinking about stories, there's really some key elements. A story should have some sort of problem or conflict. So I'm imagining you're telling a story for business purposes or, you know, for a specific reason. I'm not just telling my friend or my spouse that I went to the store and I found the item I was looking for and then I came home. That's a boring story because there's no conflict and nothing happened. I didn't say I came in. You're not going to believe some guy had his leg out. I tripped over it. And then I almost bumped my head right through the glass. I didn't. I was okay. Wow, I can't believe. So there's obviously some conflict in this story I'm making up over here. So there needs to be some problem or conflict. Then there also needs to be, and I'm going through my fingers because it's usually about a handful. This is what I teach a lot, where there's just a handful of things that we can remember and a handful of things that go into making a great story. So the next would be, the setting. What's the setting like? Well, so in that story, I'm in a store and you're imagining I'm in a Macy's type store. And I said the glass display case or something like that. So there's setting. And then there's a dialogue. So it works better. Story works better when I say, so I walked in and then I said this and I said, get out of my way, guy. And then he said, I'll put my foot wherever I want. And all of a sudden it became a better story, right? You're laughing. Like, oh, wow. What happened next? Right? So that there's a story there. And then there's a final piece of the handful, which is a point or the message. What was the point of the story? I don't come up with it, you know, I never even used this example before, but if I said, well, the point of the story is always keep your eyes on everything that's happening. We need to make sure we'll trip over ourselves. And that leads into, you know, if I were to use that in some sort of professional way, it needs to have a point. If I told the whole story without a point or a message, you'd be thinking, okay, why did Jess even bring that up today? I have no idea. If I said, oh, this plays into communication skills and let me tell you why. Because somebody is always trying. I don't believe that someone's always trying to put their foot out in front of us. But if I believe that, you know, they're trying to get in your way and you got to. I believe the world's trying to help you and that people want to support you. So I actually believe the opposite. And if you're in front of an audience, I actually believe that they want you to succeed. It's more uncomfortable for them if you're having trouble. So when people feel like they have to apologize and all that, that doesn't help. So those are the moving parts for creating a great story.
I love all of that. It's super useful. And as you're talking, Jess, I'm thinking, has anybody ever told you that you could maybe be a very good Jerry Seinfeld impersonator?
The only thing I have to say is, what's the deal with that? Why did she say that? What is she talking about?
This interview is
shrinking. Anyway, that's from something else. Maybe I've heard it here or there, and I think it's a good one.
Well,
I hope to cross paths with him at some point.
Totally, and it's very relevant because he talk about storytelling. I feel like that man is a genius storyteller, also a genius comedian. Speaking of comedian, I love me some good humor.
Yeah.
How do we incorporate more humor, more lightheartedness into our media presence? Because I feel, you know, like not everybody has to be a jokester, but also some of the people I enjoy listening to the most have that just humor and lightheartedness about them. Is there something that we can do to just naturally kind of put some of that into our talks, our presence?
So I'm a fan of lightening things up. The world is very serious. It's nice to have levity sometimes. And sometimes it takes some practice because we've all seen some people are good at it, some people are not good at it. There's a certain type of person that if they say something, they're constantly accidentally racist or sexist. That person shouldn't be like, I'll just try something out. What? No, this is no good. Like, no, don't say, you know, there's a certain type of person that's like that. And then there's, I would say, the rest of people who are, you know, oh, I'd like to say something kind of light, in which case I would say, pick up one book on the art of comedy. There is actually one I think Judy Carter wrote called The Comedy Bible, which I read years ago. It's it sounds like it's much longer than it is, but it has great examples of, oh, I can try this. And there are little techniques using an analogy there's some interesting techniques or referring back to something that was funny. They call it the callback. And there's some interesting little techniques that we can incorporate in our life. And guess what? If you're saying something serious and you have some moments of levity, again, I was talking earlier about being a full person. They get to see a full version of you. And maybe you make a mistake in front of people and you have something cute that you say instead of melting down where you're thinking, oh no. So I'm imagining, say you're giving a speech and you're in front of a big group, whether you're standing in front of a conference table or at a conference in front of 100 people. And you're talking, and let's say they had a table or something here, and there was a bottle of water, and you knock it over because you were so excited that you threw your hands up. Now that person is melting down because they, in their own head, because they look clumsy. But we have a moment where we could have some levity and like, oh, oops, I picked the wrong morning to stop drinking. And, you know, to say it like that, where it's obvious that they weren't drinking, I'm like, oh, okay, let's push this aside. All right. You know, they said something kind of cute. I guess if people, there are a million ways that we could go with that. And the other important thing there was also calling the moment. Sometimes when there's a mistake, to say something. And I think saying something, a little bit of humor and levity is helpful. But yeah, getting one book, taking one class, I think would be a wonderful exercise. Who wouldn't want a little more humor and lightness and levity in their lives? I think we all do.
We all do. I know I do. Actually, what do you think about everybody at least once in their life taking an improv class?
Yeah.
I've done that a couple times. I feel like it has expanded and grown me as a human being. And the whole thing with comedy and improv, the yes and. So have you, first of all, have you done improv?
I have. I liked it. I've done improv. I've also pushed myself, and I did stand-up comedy at one time 20 plus years ago. And the goal wasn't to be out on the road constantly, which is what the average comic has to do. They're like traveling for 20 years, just going from city to city. And the goal was, how do I push myself personally and professionally to get out of my comfort zone and gain some new skills? 100%. I think improv, if people do a Google search in their area to find an improv class near them, they tend to be 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I think would be wonderful. Janice just brought up the yes and technique, which is the basis of where it starts, which is when people are playing back and forth, you agree with the premise the other person came up with and you build on it. And just that will make people funnier and more interesting. And it's a good one to try out. Yeah. And I definitely recommend, I think it'd be a whole lot of fun. You're getting out of your comfort zone, but to take the class as opposed to just reading a book and thinking about it.
I totally agree. And when I did improv, that yes and was actually very difficult for me. I remember somebody said something and instinctively I was like, no, it was like this negative, you know, let's change course, let's whatever, instead of doing the yes and. So it's really some life skills, I feel like, that you can build in improv, and not just for comedic relief, but to show up as holistic, like to your point, whole, full, complete human beings, and have some levity, have some lightheartedness, not take ourselves so dang seriously all the time. So I appreciate you seconding that. And I really want to talk about, I've been waiting this whole time, and now we might have to touch on it a little bit here and touch on it some more in the next segment, but this Guinness Book of World Records record that you broke, that you hold this record. Please tell us about that. I've been dying to know.
All right. Well, I'll tell you first, it was not eating the most spaghetti or growing the longest fingernails. I should have said toes, because you can tell that it's not the case. It was actually in a communication category, which is at least related to what I do. I was promoting a book. I have four books all about media and business communications. And one was called Secrets of Foolproof Presentations. And a friend of mine, a public relations friend, said, well, Jess, you're the media guy. Media training being a big part of what I do, teaching people to speak to the media. And he said, so you're the media guy. Why don't you should be doing this book push bigger than anyone. So I said, okay, yeah. I said, I don't know what I'm agreeing to, but yeah, it should be bigger than, I said, I don't know what that even means. So he said, how about a Guinness record big? So I laughed and I said, is that even a thing? Let's look. So we Googled it. It is a thing. It turns out somebody had given the most interviews in a 24-hour span. It was actually the band Fall Out Boy. And they had done, I think, 72 interviews. They had to be 5 minutes long or longer. It was before Zoom and video conferencing. So for the record, it had to be on radio. So anyway, along with my co-author, we did, as a duo, we did 112 different interviews like we're doing now. They had to be at least 5 minutes long. And we stayed up for 24 hours and drank a lot of coffee. That was maybe the hardest part. and then not the speaking. It was the staying up. But I'll tell you what I learned. It gave me a lot of fodder as far as helping other people. I got to be in the hot seat. So I realized, you're the host today. The hosts are looking for good content. They're hoping their guests will just say something that will help the audience. You and I, before we hit record today, we were chatting and I said, I want to give. And you're like, great, that's what I'm really hoping for the audience. And yeah, it was interesting to see how some people are poking around in the dark for questions and or people who want to be extra playful or are really extra dry. And we encounter people like that in life. So we can help be the guide. And this is the message now, if I were to include a message in this answer, we can be the guide and guide conversations, business conversations or personal, where we think they should go.
and you beat Fallout Boy. Let's go. We will be back with Jess, everybody. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back with more insight, inspiration, and real conversations. This is Spanish Janice on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Janice Burt, and you're watching Spanish Janice. Let's keep growing together.
Welcome back to Spanish Janice. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites. We are streaming live and on demand wherever you are. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in English and Spanish. Do you prefer podcasts, maybe? Then listen to Spanish Janice anytime on the Now Media TV website, www.nowmedia.tv. We are available 24/7, so the stories that you care about are always within your reach. And this, my friends, is our final segment with the amazing, the one and only, Jess Todfeld. And Jess, I want to end this amazing show because you very much are an unbelievable guest. But I want to talk about that thing that can hold a lot of us back from showing up as our best selves, which are those limiting beliefs that I'm not good enough, the how could I ever do, fill in the blank. And then living with regret of not doing things in our lives. So first of all, has this, how has limiting beliefs impacted you? And if so, which I'm sure at some point in your life they have, what have you done to break free and to feel comfortable enough to show up on here with your open heart, your best selves for us to see?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I help clients with all the time. And sure, I'm a human being and I've had lots of moments where I had either limiting beliefs, self-limiting beliefs, or imposter syndrome at certain moments. And had to figure out, if I'm the consultant, what would I tell me? How do I break through? And I've done the work to break through. And like I mentioned in one of the earlier segments, there was a day where I had my first time in front of clients. Well, you better, you know, do something. You can't refer to things that you've done in the past. And I think when it comes to the doubt and the worries, the regret is what you brought up. That's the word I really want to hone in on. We tend to regret things that we didn't do rather than things that we did do. Not that we ever had things in life that were regretful, but more often it's those things we didn't do. And if I think back early in my career, I said to you that I had done some on-air reporting and some hosting. Well, when I was 22 and I was a producer, they said, Jess, who also looks a little bit like Jerry Seinfeld, maybe we should put him out, do some man on the street stuff, send him out to do a news package, send him out to do this stuff. So I was actually doing quite a bit of on-air work, even though I wasn't officially an on-air person. But I told you myself, and this is the self-limiting thoughts, that maybe I'm a little too young to be one of the on-air people because all of those people were older than me. And at a certain point, and now I am turning 54, actually, and I could be telling myself that I'm too old to do certain things. And I think what we realize at a certain spot is that we're only in the Goldilocks zone for who even knows if it's 5 seconds, because I'm like to this and I'm not enough this and I'm not, and that we should take the chance wherever we are. In fact, I'm going to build on that, which is to say, we have to take where we are with whatever is we think is stopping us and take what we think is our biggest negative and turn it into our biggest positive. And I have a little example for you, which was a group of financial advisors, two groups of financial advisors that I worked with. One were a group, they were a group that was very young. they were like just out of college. They seemed just out of college to me. So maybe they weren't 22 and they were 24 or 5. And I'm thinking, what would their clients think? Because they're so young, they can't refer back to when Black Monday happened because they weren't born yet in, I think, 1989 or whenever that happened. And then I had another group, which were a hair before retirement. They were all upper 70s. And, you know, why would a client want to go with me? I'm going to be retired in the next 3 years. And now they're going to have to find somebody new. So how do we make both work? How do we take your biggest negative, turn into your biggest positive? For the younger ones in going to clients, they would say, guess what? Those other guys are going to retire. I'm going to be with you your whole career. And we get to be together and I get to see the totality of where you need to go and what our long-term ideas on are. And that worked for them. And they were going actually for clients that were young and around the same age. And for the older folks, they had said, you want someone like me because I've seen it. I've been there, done that. I'm the one who's going to guide you through these storms. And, you know, if they came up with the question of a few years in, they said, don't worry, I'm going to set the whole foundation for you. And I have extended members of my team and all that, but you're going to have the perfect foundation. So that's my point, which is I at the moment said, oh, I couldn't possibly be on air right now. And actually I did the hosting on and off since leaving television in 2007, including now, and a podcast that I, every once in a while when I feel like doing it, put out there, and other times where I've been paid to be on camera. But the thing is, we should not set our own limiting thoughts. We will regret not trying something. Go out. Don't be perfect. We're humans. We're built that way. Try something. Get better at it. And at least, you know, when we're on our deathbed, we could say, hey, I tried different things. I was great at this. I was mediocre at this. I'm glad I tried this thing. Turns out I'm no good at it, but that was a whole lot of fun. I'm thrilled that I did that. I would be regretting not doing it. So that's my take on it.
And this sounds to me a lot of mindset, kind of the reframe, how we view things. What has been your experience on or have you had any experience on that deeper subconscious level where there's the beliefs that we have in our subconscious that maybe we're not even aware that are there yet? Have you encountered that? And how do we gain our awareness of those blocks, the limiting beliefs, the fears, those things that are holding us back?
I think we have to have people in our lives that we can have open conversations or do the work. Go to events where, I don't know if we were talking about it before, but, you know, like a Tony Robbins event or whoever it is, something where you can grow in some way. Obviously, there are books you can read through, but some of those are more interactive where you can try on different exercises. Try an improv group because that will give you some new skills. But I think we're better for it doing the work, the self work, because it's almost like I never climbed up Mount Kilimanjaro, wherever, you know, people go on a big hike. But I've gone on little hikes, and when you go up, you know, it's a little painful, and you get this big reward at the top. And then you look back and say, hey, I was able to do that. Maybe that wasn't so hard. Maybe I was able to make that come together. Or I think that we're better for it, even though it's a little scary when we're, you know, thinking about what could be at the top of that hill.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's truly what I want this show to be about, is the self work, that internal work that we have to do to become physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually the people that we are put on this planet Earth to be. And I feel like that doesn't just happen, that we truly have to put in that hard work of personal growth and development and becoming the diamond, you know, from a coal to a diamond with all that pressure. Mm. So to wrap up this amazing show with you, tell me a story in your own life of you doing this kind of work. Is there anything that you can think of that pops out in your mind of the journey of life, the personal growth and development? Let's end with a story from you on that.
Yeah, I think it would be putting ourselves, and I have lots of stories. Well, I need 3 more hours. Everybody, hold on. No, it is going to places and events. It is having hard conversations with people. It is going deep in, reading, experiencing. But the story I wanted to tell was about stand-up comedy, since we brought it up, which is, I'll say it was 2002 when I said, okay, I'm really going to do this. People have said you should do it. You have some funny things that you do. I didn't really have any material. It turns out, there's a formula for everything in life. Go sit down and write. Oh, yeah, gee, that's groundbreaking. But the getting out of my comfort zone to stand up on a stage with real average material to start, because I wasn't a professional at it. Now I'm a speaker. I speak at conferences. I work with clients, and I have a lot of material, work material, but I can infuse some cute stuff along the way. But, if I go out there and I'm like, trash bags are so hard to open up. Do you ever notice, everybody? Which is a Jerry Seinfeld thing. You ever notice how the trash bags are hard to open? And now if there's nothing funny that goes, like, okay, that's a setup. And as a beginner person, you're like, and I'm sure I had some, if I even talked about trash bags, I had something to follow it with. But I've seen a lot of people go out and they're like, well, that didn't land. Now, I know that it didn't land because it was a setup with no punchline. And it's just, so I was trying to give you an example. So the thing that I learned getting out of my comfort zone, also see, you're supposed to evoke an emotion, a laugh. I got some laughs. I didn't get some laughs, but I was better for it. And I went and I did it again and I did it again and again and again until I was able to get enough material that worked. And I think, like you were even saying earlier, it's about the repetition. It's about the practice. It's about the being okay with not being perfect and making mistakes. We got to crawl before we walk, before we run, is just the perfect thing for, I think, for us to live, to leave in people's minds. Take a yoga class, take a, go somewhere out of your comfort zone. And try and learn something. I think if I were to put a big stamp on it, I think as humans, we should always be learning. And it's a little theme that has been coming up over and over for the last couple of days for some reason. And it's actually on my grandmother's tombstone, always be learning. And which is weird because she hasn't died yet. We just wanted to make the tombstone. I wanted to add some comedy for you. No, she did die years and years ago. And she graduated college at age 70. She went back when she was in her late 60s, and she put always be learning. So I think we should always be challenging ourselves. And yes, we should always be learning.
Jess, you are such a delight. And you heard the man, everybody. Go out there, challenge yourselves, be loving towards yourselves, be compassionate with yourself in this journey of life. And find those people that bring out the best in you and truly show up as the best you out there. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next time.